are two words that should be always a part of the believer's vocabulary. With our children growing up, we would always, in various ways, ask them, what are you thankful for? What are some of the things that you want to give thanks for? And they would come up with all assortment of reasons why they should be thankful. And it would also remind me to think about, what do I have for which I am truly grateful? Now, we can talk about all the things, food and family and stuff, and that's important, but in reality, for the Christian, you know, when we think about these things, and we've sung about this morning, is that we should be overwhelmed with a sense of gratitude, with a sense of passion and delight and joy and thankfulness for what our God has done through Jesus Christ. It should be that which overwhelms us with joy and gratitude. Now, that's something that I believe for young people starts well, but for us older folks gets even better. Because the longer that you walk with Jesus Christ, the many more reasons and greater emphasis you have to be thankful and to rejoice in our God and King. Everybody over 70 say amen. Wow, there's a lot of you out there. We rejoice the more we walk with our Savior and delight. There's so much for us to be thankful for. Heartfelt words of praise and worship and gratitude to our God. Thankful hearts should erupt in praise and worship of our God. And I want you to look at a text of Scripture that really emphasizes that for us. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I want to begin in verse 3, actually. We began this new series through the book of Ephesians. But Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to read beginning in verse 3. Please listen, because what you have here is the Apostle Paul writing a letter to Christians, and at the beginning of the letter, he is just exploding with words of praise. Something has overwhelmed his heart. Something has caused him now to give thanks, and he just erupts with expressions of praise and blessing to God. Verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Now, when we rejoice and give praise, Paul gives us an example of how we should do that here. We began last week by looking at this wonderful letter, and just by way of introductory, seeing the wonderful themes that come out of this letter. Just in brief, I want you to get this in your mind, because when we look at this letter, it's one of those writings of the Apostle Paul that many authors and commentators have tried to nail down as to one theme. But you really can't do that with Paul, because there's so many things he wants to express in praise to God. You have the theme of the greatness and the glory of God, which just is so throughout the letter itself, even in this first section. The greatness and glory of God. We also have the theme of the exalted Christ. In chapter 1, verses 20 to 21 there, it tells us that he is the exalted one. That's a theme that runs throughout this letter. Not only that, you have the empowering of the Holy Spirit. You have that throughout this letter, but later on in the text, of course, in chapter 3, 16, earlier here in chapter 1, 16 to 19, you just have the emphasis on the Holy Spirit. Now notice those three themes: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Paul is very concerned that we hear from him in terms of the Trinity, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he reveals the role that each one of those has in our salvation. And not only that, of course, we also have the wonderful theme of salvation in its present dimension. He will also show the salvation in the eschatological dimension, the next life. But he reveals the wonders of salvation that are present in this dimension. Further to that, though, he is also concerned about the spiritual warfare that we face. You have, of course, in chapter 6, where we talk about the armor of God. Why do we need to put on the armor of God? Because the warfare we have is not physical, but spiritual. We would be very naive to think that the devil is not real, that we don't have this conflict within us in this world. And even beyond that, the beautiful theme of our new identity as believers and the consequent obligations we have. Our new identity as believers and the consequent obligations. Even this morning, as we'll look at these first few verses, we see very clearly the wonderful blessings of being a child of God. But also, as we noted last week, the obligations that come with that. It's one thing to be thankful for all that God has done, but true thankfulness is seen in obedience, the obligations we have as believers. And then finally, you also have the wonderful theme of the church, both its identity and its mission. The wonderful thing of the church, that is the large church, everyone who's a believer everywhere, who's ever lived as a Christian, but also the local context of the church. We, the people here, if you're a child of God today, we are the church. Then Paul will highlight both what it means to be part of the church, but also the mission of the church. We touched on that a little bit when Paul and Brian were up here sharing with you some of the outreach concerns we have in terms of Muslim outreach, as well as sponsoring a family. The mission of the church is multifaceted. Many things we look at there. So these and so many other things are the themes that kind of filter through the letter. So we are not going to be able to identify just one particular theme, but what we have tried to unpack for you is the whole idea of the church living in the power of the gospel itself. That's kind of what I've chosen to follow our path, is that we talk about the church of Jesus Christ living in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And with that in mind, then I want you to look at verses 3 to 14 this morning. Now, I recognize as I began this series that we could take a very long time to go through this letter. Some pastors take years and years to get through some of these letters. I don't think we will do that. But we don't also want to rush through things and miss some of the blessings we can receive from the Word. So I'm going to try and chart our course that will balance between moving through a text at a good pace, but also pausing long enough to dwell upon the wonderful themes that are there. I will not necessarily get it right every time, maybe not at all. But we're going to try to do that as we go through here. When you look at chapter 1, verses 3 to 14, if you do your study, you will find that in the Greek, the original language in which this was written, is that it's one continuous sentence. Now, my teachers always told me in early days of English literature and so on and writing that, what do they call it? Running sentences or something? I don't know what you call them, you know. What are they called? Run-on sentences, thank you, okay. I never do those anymore, so I forget what it was. Run-on sentences, you know, they go on and on without any commas or periods or anything. They just don't stop. I was told that was a bad thing. Well, it's not a bad thing here. What you have in these verses is one continuous sentence. In English, we put the proper punctuation there to help us see what's going on here. But it does show us that Paul has these thoughts he wants to express in praise and doesn't stop. He just keeps pouring them out. And these will be filtered through the rest of the letter as we go there. So notice it. Just break it down with me first of all here. Verse 3 becomes what we will call the setup verse, all right? And it talks about praise to God. Now hold that thought for a moment. Okay, we're not going to go too far yet. But that's the one that sets up the whole theme because he talks about praise to God. And then in verses 4 to 6, you're going to find one of the sections, verses 7 to 11 the next, and then verses 12 to 14, the final section. What you're going to find is that these are going to express what God the Father does, God the Son does, and God the Holy Spirit does. And so that's how it's going to kind of be broken down. So if you're breaking it down in your own little outline there, all right, we're going to go verses 3 to 6 this morning. Then we will find verses 7 to 12, and then verses 13 and 14. And here's how I want you to notice it. Go to your text if you're following your Bibles. Look at how verse 6 ends. To the praise of His glorious grace. Look at verse 12. In order that we who are the first to put our hope in Christ might be for what? The praise of His glory. Look at verse 14. Who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. Notice, to the praise of His glory. And so what Paul is doing is giving us each little segment here. And these are reasons why we should praise God. He starts with, let's praise the Lord. But then he answers, why should we praise Him? What are the reasons? And so there are three little sections, and each one ends to the praise of His glory and grace. So that's a very simple, uncomplicated outline that we want to keep in mind. All right? This morning, I just want to kind of look at and sort of scratch the surface of verses 4 or 3 through 6. And so let's do that now. All right? In verse 3, is that overarching statement or verse there, praise to God. Look at what he says there. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I want you to notice, first of all here, that Paul is not making a statement that we should think about praising God. But rather, Paul, in the way that he writes this, is actually praising God. He's singing the praises of God, just as we have done already with music. And Paul is using a start to his letter here that is a common theme throughout the Scriptures. The people of Israel were often encouraged to praise God in the heights and so on. We'll look at some of those verses here this morning. But Paul clues us in right away, listen, that whenever we're going to talk about the blessings of God, we start first with worship. One of the great dangers of considering the things we should be thankful for is that we spend so much time thinking about the things we get and the blessings that we don't think about the one who brings them. When you who have parents who have children at home, or you grandparents, or those who remember having children around the house, at Christmas time or birthday, you have a little party for the little so-and-so, and you have the birthday celebration there, and they have all these presents. And when they open a present, what's the first thing you try and tell them to do? Now go and give Grandma a hug and thank her. Why do we do that? It's because the child is so wrapped up, there's a good pun for you, so wrapped up in the gift that they really don't think and consider the one who gave it. Isn't that true? And so often, you see, that happens when we talk about spiritual blessings. I could spend the rest of the time we have, and it's not a lot of time, but we could spend the rest of the time, and I could have you, okay, let's just spontaneously start sharing some of the blessings. And we could come up with many, right? But there's a real danger in doing that, that we become so enamored with the blessings, we forget the blessed Father Himself who gives them. This is how one of my favorite pastors and preachers says it. This is Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. He says this, I can certainly testify after many years of pastoral ministry that the people who give me the impression of being most miserable in their spiritual life are those who are always thinking of themselves and their blessings, their moods and states and conditions. The way to be blessed is to look to God, and the more we worship Him, the more we will enjoy His blessings. This is most practical. The practical person is not the one who runs after the blessings, but the person who considers the source of the blessings and is in touch with that source. You get that? This is most practical, he says. The practical person is not the one who runs after the blessings, but the person who considers the source of the blessings and is in touch with that source. What Dr. Lloyd-Jones says rightly helped us understand is that before we even consider the things for which we are thankful, is we worship our God and King. And that's what Paul is doing here. When he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's not saying it's a good thing to praise the Lord. He is actually worshiping the Lord as he writes these things. And so when we come to God's Word, when we think of His blessings, the first thing we should do, the primary thing we should do, is to worship our God and King. We think far too much of ourselves and far too little about our God and King. We are so caught up in us that we don't spend much time thinking about Him. And we need to change that, don't we? That's the problem with our culture today. Our culture is wrapped up in itself and has no time to think about the Creator. And even we who are Christians sometimes get so wrapped up in ourselves, and sometimes good things, that we don't take time to consider our God. And so we want that to be permeating our minds as we look to His Word. So we praise Him. You have in Psalm chapter 68, verse 19, "Praise be to the Lord, to our God, our Savior, who daily bears our burdens." 2 Samuel 22, 47, "The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be my rock, the rock, my Savior." You see, the authors of Scripture spend time praising and worshiping God. There's a reason they do it, but they don't spend so much time on the reasons that they don't actually praise God. We don't want to spend all our time thinking about the blessings. We want to spend time praising God. Because it's in the praising of God, listen, that we enjoy the blessings. It's in worshiping Him that we enjoy the things that He does for us, because the two are connected. We can't be thankful without praising God, because the things we have, the blessings, physical and spiritual, are from Him. He is the source. So let's spend more time worshiping the source, and from that be able to enjoy His blessings. But notice what verse 3 says. He says, "We have been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." You can spend a lot of time thinking of that phrase. But that first part of the phrase where it says, "blessed in the heavenly realms," that's a phrase that is exclusive to this letter. You will find it also in chapter 1, verse 20, chapter 2, verse 6, chapter 3, verse 10, and chapter 6, verse 12. Don't worry if you miss those. We'll get there eventually. You'll find it. And what Paul is doing there in the using that phrase, particularly here, is reminding us, number one, that the most important blessings are the spiritual ones, not the physical ones. And number two, those spiritual blessings are tied to our Savior, who now sits at the right hand of God, the heavenly realms. We are living in sort of the overlap, if you will, of the ages, the now and the not yet. We are living as human beings in the 21st century with the blessings of God through Jesus who came into the world. But Jesus left here, sits at the right hand of God, will one day come back, and we wait for what we call in theological language the consummation of the ages. The time when we will go to heaven as God's people, He will judge the earth, and we'll spend eternity with Him. That will be the completion of God's work of salvation. But until that happens, we have this overlap, right? And so yet we can talk in ways of enjoying the blessings of the heavenly realms because we have tasted of our Savior. And Paul reminds us here that these blessings we have are the spiritual blessings from our Lord. And notice he says what there? He says, you haven't been blessed in the heavenly realms with one or two spiritual blessings, does it? What does the verse say? With every spiritual blessing. That's a lot of blessings. And what that is trying to convey to us is that every blessing we need spiritually from God, we have received. What is perhaps the most praiseworthy and God-honoring and worshipful tone here is this reality. If you're a Christian here today, you have every spiritual blessing in Christ. You have every spiritual blessing that you require. You have all that you need to worship and adore your God spiritually because of what Christ has done for you and that the fact that the Spirit of God lives in you. We do not need to go find more. We have it here. Now, God will enhance and show us those blessings in wonderful different ways. But we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, why is that important? One of the reasons that is important is because it's the one thing that cannot be taken away from us. Every other blessing you have can be taken from you. The blessing of a home, the blessing of a good job, the blessings of food and friends, the blessings of loved ones, Are they blessings? Are they precious to us? Are they things we enjoy? Every one of them can be taken away from us. And one day all will be gone of these things. And so if we are staking our joy and hope and worship of God on that stuff, that is far too limited. Yes, we thank God for these things. We rejoice in them, but all of those can be taken away. What cannot be taken away are the spiritual blessings we have in Christ. I have read biographies of some of the martyrs of faith and those who have written about their lives and so on, and reminders of those that have spent time in prison because of their faith, stripped of their whole life, their possessions. So many will say, but they can't take away my faith, and they can't take away my love for my Savior. That you cannot take, because those are spiritual blessings. Why is it when we face tragedy and loss of things in this life that we can still have hope in our Savior? Because of the spiritual blessings and hope we have in Christ. They cannot be taken away. So it's important for us, even at the outset of this whole study of God's Word, is that we understand the importance of praising and worshiping God, the giver of all things, and the joy we have in every spiritual blessing we have in Christ. And so our lives should be just one endless stream of worship and praise and giving thanks to God. That should be our lives. When people run into us, they say, "How's your day?" "It's magnificent. God continues to bless me with so many wonderful things." Is that how you respond when people say, "How are you doing?" Well, sometimes. Sometimes when people say, "How's your day?" you say, "Oh, do you got 3 hours? Let me just tell you." Of course, you don't. And you're looking at your watch. I shouldn't have asked that question. But in reality, honestly, though, if you're a Christian here, in spite of everything that you're facing, and someone says, "How are you today?" By God's grace, I'm the most blessed person in the entire universe, because I have all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. And for that we rejoice. And so you see, by that, what the Apostle Paul is doing is now setting up the rest of this section and the rest of the letter for us to study. Because we don't want to begin studying the wonderful blessings he's going to be talking about here, his wonderful love beforehand, his salvation, and all of those things, until we are rock solidly planted upon the foundation of the truth of his spiritual blessings in Christ, for which we give thanks and praise our God and King. Now that is not easy for us always to do. We are very, so much tied to this world that it's hard for us to break away from being tied to everything here, isn't it? And if I can give a humorous illustration this week. This past week around the church building has been one of chaos, last couple of weeks. We've had some great volunteers here that have been helping do all sorts of things to get ready and moved in, and we finally got things cleared out into the auditorium and the foyer and so on, new carpet, new chairs. And one of the challenges for Pastor Sam and I is we had to clear out our offices to put in new carpet. I have several thousand books in my office. And so if you'd come here in the middle of the week, there were books everywhere. It looked like a book depository in just in this place here. And so I got to put them all back, and they're getting there. But offhanded comments, you know, from people I love saying, "Yeah, maybe you should get rid of some of those books." Yeah. And after I picked myself up on the floor having a heart attack, get rid of my books. And so I actually started a box of books to give away. So if you're looking for some books, hang around me. You might get one, all right? I said, I got to do it. I got to get rid of some of these books. There's not enough shelves in there, and I'm not going to read them all the rest of my life and so on. You know, and I did see a little cartoon that said, there's a pastor sitting behind his desk and volumes of books all over the place, and he's counseling someone, and he says, books do not count as worldly things, I think is the way he put it there, so you can have all you want. But it's always a reminder to me as well that it's just stuff. It's good stuff. I use them. I enjoy them. But it's just stuff. And these blessings that I call books will one day be gone. They'll be in somebody else's library. They'll fall apart with age. They will go the way of everything else. But the spiritual realities of God's blessing in my life will remain. And so, as we think about that, I want you to consider that this week. I'm done for today. You're getting really nervous that we still have several other points to get through here this morning. But I'm not going to go any further this morning. I want just this first thought, verse 3, to kind of be filtering through your minds all week long. Think about that theme. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I would suggest then, as you do that, then read the rest of verses 4 to 14 and the rest of the letter. And notice how everything there should extend from attitudes of praise to our God. Because here's the reality as we draw to a conclusion this morning. The first is this. The only way that we can actually enjoy these spiritual blessings is if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If you're not a Christian here today, what I'm saying has little impact, potentially, because you don't know Christ. You haven't tasted of the wonders of His goodness and grace and put your trust in Him alone. That is the call of the gospel to you today. The reason Paul gets excited is because God, in sovereign mercy and grace, sent Himself in the form of the Son to die on the cross to take away the sins of His people so that in salvation, people like you and like me might be to the praise of His glory and grace. Oh, that you'd come to Him today, that you would understand what it means to be a sinner under God's condemnation and wrath, but also know that there's a Savior who takes lives like yours and mine and brings them the new life, so that we might rejoice in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. That's number one. Number two, if you have already crossed over from death to life and know Christ as your Lord and Savior, then let us embark upon a journey in our life till the Lord comes again, of being less concerned with the physical things of life and more concerned with the spiritual. May the things that really get us excited not be the trivial matters of this life, but the things of eternity, the glory of our God and King, the wonders and majesty of His name, the salvation of the lost, the building of the church, all those things that bring Him glory might be the things that bring us joy and delight. May the gospel of Jesus Christ be so enriched in our lives that we will go and make it known, that others will live in your context and hear from you that there is a God who is worthy of worship. There's a Savior who came into the world to take sinners like us and bring us salvation. And there's a Spirit of God at work for the glory of Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God and gracious Lord and Master, You are to be praised. You are worthy of all glory. And Father, we are so limited in our ability and our willingness to praise You. Father, I thank You that You are God and there is no other. And I pray today for those who do not know You as that great and glorious God would come to saving faith today. And for those of us who are Your children, Lord, that we would rejoice in our Savior and make Him known to the world. Give us hearts of gratitude, lives of thankfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.